And then we went to the interior, West China, during the war. You've heard of the Burma Road? He worked as an engineer on the Yunnan-Burma Highway. It was a highway that was used to transport ammunition from Burma to China to improve the highway. And in 1939, I went to join him.
So you were in Canton by yourself for a while?
We went to Hong Kong. You see, Canton was bombed in 37, so we moved to Hong Kong. And I taught school in Hong Kong for a while.
What were you teaching?
English.
So you realized your dream. You were saying and you wanted to do that.
Yes, but I had to dig a lot of grammar, a lot of grammar that we never paid much attention to. You had to teach it to the students in order for them to write correct English. And I went, our daughter was born in 1934, and I left my daughter with her grandmother in Hong Kong, and I went to Yunnan, Kunming, to join my husband, and he worked as surveying to improve the Burma Road.
What was the experience of war like from as you were in China? What was that like?
When we first went to China and lived in Canton, it was quite a westernized community, and it was there was a Baptist church and a Baptist kindergarten, junior high and high school and seminary, all in that one community. It was like a and many people from America settled there to let their children have a Chinese education. So it was quite westernized, and there were American missionaries living there. So the transition wasn't so great. Then when we went to live in Yunnan, in West China, my conditions were not so good. No running water, no electricity, no flush toilets.
For how long were you there?
39 to... When did the war end?
1941? Sorry?
End. Did it end in...
45.
To 47.
So you were there for a long time. Uh-huh. What were you doing?
Different places.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What were you doing?
I was just a homemaker.
Were there many Americans?
My husband worked on the highway, and then he worked on the railway, designing a railway from Yunnan to Burma, and then airfields for the American Air Force to bomb the Japanese from China for B-52s. Mm-hmm. And so we were moving all the time. When one project was finished, we moved to another place.
What were some of the what was it like for you? That was the first time you were coming to China.
Well, it was the sanitary conditions were not good, and in Canton, I could still have a chance to speak English, but in the interior, there were no English speaking people except the GIs.
Did you speak Chinese?
Yeah.
How did you? When did you learn
another dialect? Uh-huh. The people in Yunnan spoke another dialect.
And how did you learn Chinese?
I just learned it by listening.
When you were growing up?
Uh-huh.
Did your parents speak Chinese?
When I was at home, my father taught me a few characters, Then in college, I took a course. And then I, just by mixing with people of different provinces, I learned to speak their dialect. And then living in Yunnan, I had to do the shopping, learn the native dialect, names of food and so on.
How did people respond to you there?
There were big groups of us from Canton, from different places. And so we always got together and we didn't mix with the native people too much, except our landladies or landlords. There wasn't prejudice, I don't think.
What were some of the similarities and differences between Chinese Americans and Chinese? Some of the similarities and the differences between the Chinese Americans and the Chinese from your experience when you were in China?
The people in China thought that the American-born Chinese were different and that they were very independent and were not submissive to their mothers-in-law.
What is the tradition of being submissive to your mother-in-law?
Well, she was surprised at first, you know. She'd never met me before. But I adjusted quite well to the Chinese society and spoke Chinese.
And she was the one that where she was taking care of your daughter?
Yes. Uh-huh. Then when I was in Yunnan, I had a son. He was born near the Burma border. In 1941, Norman was born.
When did you return to the United States?
After 15 years. World War II was ended, we went to another province where my husband was in charge of designing a bridge, a railway bridge. Then he was shifted to another position in charge of harbor construction. They were building a harbor for big ships to come in to Canton. So he was transferred there. And all these years he was working for the government. Then my parents wanted to see me, so they sent for me. They sent money for me to come back and visit them after 15 years. So I came back. That was 1948. But in 49, the communists came. So my husband had to evacuate with my mother-in-law and my daughter to Hong Kong. And just went with just a few suitcases and had to borrow money to get out there because the Chinese currency was so inflated. His salary was millions of dollars a month, but then it was not worth the paper it was printed on. So he had to start all over. And he was not recognized by the British government in Hong Kong because he's American educated, you see. If he went to a school in Great Britain, he would be licensed. But he had to, and so in the beginning, he had to work for somebody, but he could not sign his plans. He was not authorized until several years later. And so I planned to stay only half a year or 1 year, in America, but he came to Hong Kong and rented a room in a relative's home and started looking for work. And so he worked for engineers, but he was not authorized. And there was no room for me to stay in until another year later. So I stayed 2 years until 1950. And he, by that time, he had bought a piece of land and built a little house. And that's when I went back with my son. I took my son to America. He was 7 and stayed until he was 9.
So what was it like coming back to L.A. after 15 years?
Oh, it was a culture shock. I was so surprised. I'd never seen a motel before. And then even my own family, I didn't recognize my own sisters. I had 2 younger sisters. I couldn't tell the them apart. And then my brother, my stepbrother, and nieces and nephews. Oh, it was really a culture shock.
How had you noticed that the city had changed?
Oh, yes. The city had grown. I took the boat. We didn't take planes in those days. I took one of these troop carriers the general makes back to L.A. And my friends, I was very, very disoriented when I came back. It was so different.
Had you been wanting to return? Did you miss your home in the United States?
Well, I hated to leave David, but then I wanted to see my parents. I knew they were elderly. My father was in his 80s then. So I didn't expect to stay so long.
And then in 1950 you returned.
Mm-hmm.
And to Hong Kong?
Mm-hmm. And then in 1952 my daughter graduated from high school and she had to leave home for college, and so she came to Texas for college. Then I started to teach school again. 52, I taught for 6 or 7 years.
Teaching English?
Mm-hmm.
So your daughter had never been to the United States?
No. She came as a student. She was in Texas, East Texas Baptist College for 2 years. Then went to San Francisco State and finished after 2 years. Then she met a young man and got married. And when her baby was a year old, they went to Hong Kong to visit us. And my son-in-law liked Hong Kong, and so he applied for a job. And so they worked in Hong Kong for 16 years.
It's very interesting to me, the back and forth with to China and Hong Kong and the United States, and then the different generations.
Mm-hmm.
Because your parent, let's see, your father came from China,
mm-hmm.
and then in your generation, you were born in America, and then your children
mm-hmm.
were born there.
Yes, and then my son came to college in Redlands in 1961. Came and got married after he graduated. Yeah, when my brother was 18, when he finished LA High, he went to China to study Chinese. So my father always encouraged us to keep our ties with China. And he himself wanted to come back, and he wanted his children to have a Chinese education.
Did he encourage your brother to go into medicine?
I think so. At first my brother wanted to study chemistry or something like that. But then my father thought that medicine would be a good field. So he studied medicine in China and came back here for his residency and worked in the county hospital here and in Boston City Hospital and in New York NYU Hospital. And my third brother, my stepbrother, is also a doctor, eye, ear, nose, and throat. He came from China when he was about 10 or 11 and went to high school here and went to USC and University of Pennsylvania and Georgetown University. He graduated majoring in eye, ear, nose, and throat. And he went to China and he worked in a hospital there. So our family has been back and forth. We have...
Was that common, or did a lot of families want their children to go? Because you were saying when you first went to Canton, there were many Americans there. So do you find that in the first and second generation Americans that there was a lot of back and forth between China?
There were some, but in Los Angeles, not too many, because some took their children back for Chinese education and left them there. A few families did that, but some didn't like it, and so they came back.
What were some of the differences in Chinese education? That it seems that was something that was highly valued, to receive a Chinese education.
Well, Chinese, it's very hard to learn Chinese. The writing is very difficult. They have to memorize what each character looked like. No alphabet to go by. They memorize a lot. Memorize poetry, took dictation, and had to memorize how to write. Studied the classics and so on. But in some schools, the test books, the math and science books were in English, so that wasn't so bad. It was only Chinese literature that was difficult.
Did your family maintain some of the Chinese traditions when you were growing up?
Yes, when people come to visit, you always serve them tea. When father was finished with his bowl of rice, we always took his bowl to give him a second helping. And we kept the Chinese traditions. When people came to your house, you always address them. You always call them in a certain way, uncle so-and-so. I think we kept our Chinese customs.
Were some of the values and traditions different than the sort of American traditions?
I think, I don't know whether when an adult comes into your room, does the child stand up? But in a Chinese custom, you always stand up. And you always address that person, always call them by their title.
So, in your family, there was an emphasis on maintaining a Chinese heritage and traditions. Mm-hmm. And how did your parents feel about the American culture, or, you know, their children who are born? Well, your mother was American.
But she was very Chinese.
Uh-huh. She was?
Yes.
How so?
Well, she spoke Chinese, and she practiced the Chinese customs.
How did they feel about their children becoming Americanized?
Becoming Americanized?
Yeah.
Well, we always spoke Chinese at home. My mother said, you will learn English when you go to school. So we spoke all Chinese at home. And so I don't think I spoke English only to the patients who came to see my father. And then when I went to kindergarten, then I learned English.
Was that? Do you remember that? Was that difficult?
No, I think children pick up languages very easily.
Was that the same case with your mother's family, that she had spoken Chinese at home and learned English in school?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And when you came back here on your trip for 2 years, in 1948, what did you do while you were here for those 2 years?
Well, I got a job at a part-time. I think after a year or so, I realized I couldn't go back to Hong Kong. I got a job in a sewing factory, inspecting that factory made nylon panties, and I inspected them for any oil, machine oil on them. I used detergent to clean.
Did many women work there? Was
yes,
it mostly
Chinese women?
Women?
Chinese women. Mm-hmm. Yes. Some Mexican, but some Chinese too.
Where was that located?
Downtown. I don't remember where it was. Broadway or somewhere. I took the bus downtown. I think it was about 85 cents an hour. Something like that. $28 a week.
What was that like? What were the conditions like working there?
Not too bad. It was, you worked at your own pace. If you worked faster, you could make more money. I wasn't fast, but I was thorough.
Do you remember other things about the sewing factory?
No. We brought our lunch there, and I think we had half an hour or so to eat lunch. We punched a time clock when we got to work.
That was very different from the work you've done before, teaching. And
yeah.
What did that feel like to go work in a sewing factory?
Well, it was it was something to kill time with, since I couldn't go back to Hong Kong yet.
What relationship did Chinese Americans in LA have with other Asian Americans?
Not much.
Not too much exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, well, you were telling me you grew up the church that you grew up with here, but then you were talking about the Baptist church too when you were in China.
Oh, my husband was Baptist. He's fourth generation Baptist. So I joined the Baptist church. And we went back to China and went to the Baptist church.
Mm-hmm. And now here in LA, mm-hmm. which
the
church?
Chinese Baptist church.
Oh, down in Chinatown?
In Monterey Park.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There's one in LA too, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
the
big one.
It's, mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the largest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our church used to be in Chinatown too, also on Yale Street, but we bought this property in 1988 on Pomona Boulevard between Atlantic and Garfield, and we have about 80 people in attendance every week. It's not a large church.
Going backwards a little bit again,
mm-hmm.
Well, you were in China during the Great Depression here in the United States, is that right?
It began here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, well, you were still here at the mm-hmm. at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Did that affect your family? Or?
Well, it was very hard for my father to come up with the tuition. USC's tuition was about $500-some a year. And at first he said, could we not pay all and pay in installments, but the interest would be too much. So I think he made a lot of sacrifices for us to go to college. And he also sent money for my brother to go to college in China. And then there were two younger sisters who went to college to USC also. So it was quite a burden.
I can imagine, and $500 then wasn't cheap, was it?
Yeah.
What have been the most important events in your life?
Well, I guess getting married.
And what have been your greatest successes, do you feel?
I think I'm also very Chinese, that I'm very submissive to my husband. So he was, besides being an engineer, he had his office in Hong Kong. After he became authorized, he could design buildings for people. So he did a lot of buildings in Hong Kong. Schools, factories, churches, and hotels and so on. And then he was involved in the Baptist work, in the men's department of the Baptist World Alliance. Then he was elected president of the Baptist World Alliance. And so he traveled. And so I accompanied him on most of the trips. So we've been to about 65 different countries, and I've been around the world at least 6 times. Then I went with him, and I thought that accompanying him was my most important work. I had a maid who worked for about 25 years in our home, so I didn't have to do any housework. So I helped him with correspondence and traveled with him. So from 1970 till 80, we did a lot of traveling.
And what would you do when you got to a place?
Well, sometimes, we'd be met by the native people. Then he would sometimes have a press conference. People would arrange for interview, and he would speak. And then there would be meetings in various Baptist churches. We did all of the South American countries except Argentina in 1 month. And we've been to Australia and New Zealand, and then Cuba, and Soviet Union, and to the Poland, Czechoslovakia, and all the countries in Europe, Papua New Guinea, and they would arrange meetings, and he would speak. And so the president of the Baptist World Alliance was just to introduce them to the work of the Baptist World Alliance and to just have fellowship. In Africa, on behalf of the Baptist World Alliance, he presented water pipes, plastic water pipes, to a place that hadn't had water in 5 or 8 years. And it was very interesting. And we went to a lot of places where Chinese had never been before. That was interesting to the people.
What was that like?
They would just look at us and and they'd never seen a Chinese before. In Papua New Guinea, they hadn't.
So what did they do? They just would look at you and
just look at you, just stare. And so we have all the albums, we have movies and slides of the different places we've been. And so my husband's hobby is photography, and he took pictures. And it was interesting to meet people from different parts of the world.
When did you come back to the United States then to live?
About 1982.
So then, had you been back between 1950 and then?
Yes, many, many times.
You had come to visit?
After I left in 1950, I came back in 1960, 10 years later. And then 64, 65, 67, 69, in the 70s, and almost every year.
What was the occasion?
My husband had meetings. The Baptist World Alliance had 5-year meetings and also general council meetings every year. The main office is in Washington, D.C., and so we would go to Washington, D.C., and then take in Los Angeles where my mother was and sisters were, and we would visit different relatives and different places.
When you came back in 1960, did you notice a lot of changes?
Yes, after 10 years, yes.
Was it a shock for you again?
No, not so much. That time I went to South America, to Rio, for a meeting. And so I went by way of Bangkok, the Holy Land, Switzerland, and then to South America, and then came back, went to a camp. They had a young people's camp, and they asked me to speak on China for 1 week to some young girls. And then after that, then I went to Glorieta for another women's meeting, Baptist women's meeting, and then went to Los Angeles. And I stayed, I think, 2 months that time.
And so when you came back in 1982, why did you decide to come back?
Well, our daughter's family is in New Jersey, and my son was settled here. He has 4 children. And so we decided to stay here. We had no idea of 1997 being turned back to the communist government, of Hong Kong being given back to the China. Wasn't for that reason, but we just thought, well, it's time for us to retire and to be near our family. And my sister and brothers, my stepbrothers were all in the Los Angeles area, so that's why we chose L.A.
Were you happy to be back?
Yes.
And now what do you do now?
Well, we're involved in our church. Today we went to Bible study. Every Wednesday we go from 11 to 12. And then we have lunch at church. People take turns bringing food. And the people at church cook rice. And we eat lunch. And then we take the people home. And so now that we're here, we're involved in, we go to their chapel every Tuesday night, and then they have an indoor swimming pool, and we go, a heated pool for exercise. And like Friday, there'll be a dinner of the people in this one building. And so we're involved with the activities here. And then there are a lot of friends coming and going all the time. My husband's alumni friends from his high school.
Where was that?
In China. Mm-hmm. They come by. And then our church in Hong Kong. We were 30 years in Hong Kong, so we had a lot of friends there. And so they come and go.
Do they come and visit and stay with you?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, when we were at the other house, we had room, but we don't have room for visitors here. But we get together for a meal, for lunch or for dinner, and we gather together our mutual friends, and then we have dinner. So that's so we're busy all the time.
And do you have any plans?
No, we're very happy here. We won't be moving again, and it's we feel that this is a proper place for elderly people. We like it here, and it's close to the Chinese community, near Chinese restaurants and supermarkets and our church, so we don't have to drive so much in the on the freeways anymore, and we like that.
That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So do you like to cook Chinese food?
Yes. In the evenings I cook Chinese food. Only one meal a day is Chinese. And at noontime we have salads or sandwiches and so on. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that you'd like to tell me about that I haven't asked you about?
No, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Wong.
You're welcome. I don't know whether I spoke distinctly enough.
Oh, very.
Huh?
Oh, it's just crystal clear. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.